Another practical episode on Rethink Real Estate today. We dive a little bit deeper into the NAR side of things and the information that is out there at the moment that we're going to be handling and dealing with. So again, guys, I think that there's some things that from a negative point of view from the general public that we need to make sure that we're aware of. We need to be making sure that we're not looking into the bias sources within the real estate industry. And then we talk about a little bit of opportunity, but we're going to be talking about opportunity with all of this structural change over the next number of weeks. And as it still eventuates, keep in mind is that any of this stuff that we go through can be completely changed in the drop of a hat when it comes to the NAR ruling or the settlement, actually the agreement at the moment versus what actually happens and is approved by the court could be completely different as well. The new lawsuit with the MLSs and the DOJ, everything could change. We're only theorizing at this point, but it's still good to start thinking of different opportunities within your business. All individual moments of change create industry of change and create opportunities to do things differently. So let's lean into those. Welcome to Rethink Real Estate. My name is Ben Brady, and this is a real estate podcast aimed to deliver sales strategies, marketing tips, and business insights from industry experts and myself to build a listing-focused business for the future. Let's get into it. Well, team, I think that I heard an interesting statistic the other day that made me think about a few different things from a buyer representation perspective. Obviously, we all understand the NAR lawsuit stuff that is going on at the moment, and to make reference to that, we're going to start bringing up that on a little bit more of a consistent basis throughout some of the practical episodes and some of the stuff we're seeing and we're finding. However, the thing that I wanted to sort of bring up was an interesting statistic. Now, again, I can't actually name the actual company that gave me this information. Unfortunately, it's an internal survey that, again, isn't known to the general public, but I thought it was really interesting nonetheless. It's quite a large independent real estate business, and it is East Coast based, more specifically in Manhattan. We deal with one of the agents over there that was one of the pioneers in the early days of us doing non-distressed auctions in Manhattan as well. However, they shared with us the other day, and this statistic is relatively old. So when they gave me this statistic, it was roughly about 15 days after the settlement for the NAR lawsuit had been announced. And one of the things that they had tallied, and I thought that this was a really interesting statistic to go from, and what I'm sort of stemming the episode from an informational perspective today, is that, and again, this brokerage does quite a bit of business on a buyer representation perspective as well. They'd put 87 buyer-side transactions into escrow or under contract, regardless of where you are. They're an East Coast firm based in Manhattan, so that is under contract for them. They put 87 deals under contract with inside the 15 days since the NAR settlement. And the one thing that I certainly would not have done as a company leader, I don't think it's a really good thing to do, is bring attention to buyers that have gone into escrow or under contract. You bring them aware of commissional disputes or situations that are coming in. But what they did do is they reached out to every one of those 87 and they asked them if they had any knowledge around the NAR lawsuit. And it made it really clear to me that 92% of them said that they had no idea. Now, I have to admit is that to only have 8% of the people out of 87 buyer sides of those transactions actually turn around and go, oh yeah, I did know about it. I do believe that there's a lot of people when it comes to real estate, there's a certain type of individual that turns around and said, yes, they knew about something even though they didn't. So there's got to be a little bit of a buffer into there. So if we round it out and we said 95% of people actually had no idea, and these are buyers in the current moment, 15 days after the actual settlement of NAR. And again, these people are in the hot seat in the real estate industry, looking on all of the websites, making offers actively, talking about everything with their attorneys and with their escrow officers and with their agent and everything along those lines. To say that 92 to 95% of them had absolutely zero idea about anything to do with the NAR lawsuit. I think that just goes to speak that this is absolutely center stage for us right now as an industry, and it is at the crux of every bit of promotion. If you're like me and you subscribe to Inman, you probably get 1,200 emails from them a day, regardless of whether it's trying to get them to go to the Inman conference or it's about that. You know, if it's the real deal, we're getting constant bombardment of the NAR lawsuits, but there's also a great deal of speculation out there of the decisions that will be made. Now you've just seen the new lawsuit that the MLSs that are not part of the associations have actually turned around and are suing the DOJ. This again is just one of the things that creates this murky environment that distracts so many of us. And I wanted to bring it back to an actual point that it was really interesting to actually see how the general public has responded to this. And we're going to hopefully do some episodes in the future, and I'm working on it with Chris at the moment, where we can actually get some episodes of what other industries and other people external to the real estate industry are saying about the real estate industry and about the reduction in so quote unquote commission is what a lot of people are saying, when it isn't a reduction in commission whatsoever. It's ultimately just a different way of disclosing that commission to the buyer side of the agreement. And I want to go through and I want to try and rebut a lot of that, because I want to make sure that everybody understands something from the perspective of, not only is this center stage for us and it's right at the forefront of our mind, we've got to make sure that we're not listening to sources that are biased. So let me give you an example of that. Well, I'm trying to be a really unbiased approach of, you know, again, I've been in doing Australian real estate for a very long time before I came to the US, and there is no buyer representation there. You know, we've dealt in Canada where there is only dual agency at a minimal, at a lesser fee, and they made that a rule whilst we were doing auctions up there. You know, there's a great deal of different situations that we have seen all over the world, and a lot of it involves no buyer side representation. But then growing to love the buyer side representation here, and it works so well with the auction concept, and I see the benefit to it having used it, all of those different elements. You know, I'm trying to be an unbiased source. But the one thing that I want to make sure that all of you understand is that listening to certain biased sources, like if you jump onto the NAR and you start listening to them about why buyer representation is amazing and why it should exist, again, it's going to be one-sided. Jumping on a California Association of Realtors or the Oregon Association of Realtors or whoever it ultimately is that those associations are just defending their existence and defending you and your existence within the business as well from a buyer side perspective, because they're telling you what you want to hear. The one thing that I challenge you to do, and I've done it to our business owners, I've sent them a report from an investment thesis perspective, is that, you know, a very large investment bank within the US sent out a thesis around how you should invest in the real estate marketplace, or not the marketplace, but more so real estate stocks based on the decisions that have been made. And it was really interesting to see like an industry opinion versus their own opinion that they had found with their own analysts. And they're the unbiased sources that you should be looking at, is external industries from real estate and what they're saying. External general public that have nothing to do with real estate and really only minimally transact in it. Because asking an investor or asking somebody that deals in it all the time is not a credible source. We're dealing with the general public here. And the thing that you've got to understand is they're getting so many different avenues with so many different opinions. So you've got to be prepared, not from a question perspective that the industry is saying you should be prepared for. You need to be looking external source to those comments that people are getting. Like, for example, one of the distinct ones that was on the Today Show, folks, there was a lady absolutely tearing down the real estate industry. I believe the statistic that was given was something like 85% of all agents that were involved in a transaction or buyer side in the last 12 months had never actually physically stepped foot into the property that they represented that buyer on. Now, I don't know where that statistic came from, and there is probably some merit to the fact that, I have to be honest, is as we're going through this open house program with our agents locally, we are seeing at least 90%+ of buyers come to an open house without their agent, with zero representation. You might say, well, it's physically impossible for me to get there, whatever it may be. Well, guys, try and make a private showing. Try and be part of that process. If you're going to show value to them, be there, go through the blood, sweat, and tears, understand what they're saying. But for somebody with a platform like the Today Show, for one of the people that got on there and said 85% of agents who represented a buyer in a transaction never physically stepped foot on that property. Again, whether that's true or it's not, it doesn't need to be true in order for it to gain some momentum. That is an absolutely damning statement, which really reflects poorly on the real estate industry in its entirety. But that sort of leads me and stems me through to getting away from talking about the NAR lawsuit. It also creates this opportunity in my mind that you're seeing less and less buyers agents turn up to their with their buyers to open houses. Now, whether that be because of scheduling problems, whether that be because they're trying to do just a 9-to-5 job and only work the weekdays, I don't know. But there's a great deal of part-time nature around real estate, and I think that we can absolutely take advantage of that. Now, what I mean by that is that stemming it into a real positive around, let's say that there is not a great deal of buyer side representation that is turning up to see the property. One, I think you probably should do, if you're an agent looking to grow your business, one of the first things that I would do, regardless of traditional or auction, I would only make the 2 scheduled showing times a week for a maximum of 2 hours at a time. Why? Because that's probably not going to fit into another agent's schedule and the buyers are probably going to come through direct. Now, at the moment, there is no buyer broker agreement. There's no rules in place to say that that has to be signed. So we've got to take advantage of an opportunity here, guys. While the we're striking while the iron's hot, while those buyers are coming through, taking down names and numbers and actually building some format of a relationship with them. Because I think that it's incredible to understand that while we go and dive deeper into the open house data, first of all, with our agents that want to be part of our open house data program and understanding the open house data mining, that if you were listening to any previous episodes, we actually had Troy and Brittany on here where they had an initiative that they're doing in Australia. We're rolling that same initiative out here in North America within our own group to see if it's relevant. But taking down people's names and numbers and really mining through that data, one of the first things that's asked is, hi, my name's Ben. What's your name? You take down their information. It's like, and are you working with an agent? Well, yes, I am. Great. What's the name of that agent? If they don't know the name off the top of their head and they don't have their contact information with them, realistically, they've just spoken to somebody on Zillow, or they might not even be, they're probably just not wanting you to hound them. So they're just telling you, yes, I'm working with an agent, which opens up a really distinct opportunity. So either way, is restricting the showing times allows you to do that. And until there is that rule that comes down and it is made absolutely official, which is, I don't know how long until that happens. They're saying July. I don't know that that is something that's going to roll out in that timeframe. We need to make hay while the sun shines and collect as many people's information as we possibly can to start building relationships with them. I'm not trying to say you need to snake buyers from other agents. No, but staying in contact with these people and getting their information and reaching out to them, asking for feedback on the property, and then asking what their real estate needs is, and 2 sets of eyes are better than 1 set of eyes, so on and so forth. Now, there's another element of this as well that really opens up a distinct avenue, is that 2 sides to the transaction. And that's another episode that I'm going to go through in an upcoming Rethink Real Estate episode, because I really see that as a distinct opportunity. But again, getting back to the point here, make sure that you're understanding, you know, this is main stage for us, but I don't think it is as main stage for the general public. 2, be careful of the sources that you're listening to, making sure that they're not biased in a particular direction, okay? Because the real sources that we should be listening to is people that are external to the real estate industry, because they are the questions that I believe that we are going to have to defend and we are going to have to answer, not the ones that the real estate industry make up for us, okay? But then also, whilst this is happening, again, make hay while the sun shines. Whilst not a lot of buyers are signing buyer broker agreements at the moment, make sure that you are going down the path of maybe restricting those showing windows and taking down people's information. Because again, if it is true that 85% of agents that were involved in a buyer side transaction never showed up to the listing that they ultimately got paid on, then hey, this is an opportunity for you to build more rapport and build relationships and build more information in that build process in general. But either way, guys, there's a whole lot of opportunity that we're going to be speaking about in the coming weeks when it comes to the practical episodes, all the way down from double ending the deal, okay, and making sure that we create a revolving business, but then all the way down further into talking about, you know, how it is going to be easy to identify the future sellers that are coming through your open houses or your showing windows that you're doing as well, okay? So let's just keep all of the opportunity in mind, and making sure that we see this as a positive. Any change is a positive. As much as we don't like change, that change creates distinct opportunity to those that lean into the different avenues that are available to them. Thanks so much. So about 75% of our audience hasn't liked, followed, or subscribed to our podcast. It would mean the world to us, and it would help this podcast more than you know to expand our reach if you were to like, follow, or subscribe on any of the platforms that you're watching or listening on. Thanks again.